Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. I hope everybody enjoyed that special message for Thanksgiving. I got quite a few people sending me little hits or feedback or what have you. So I hope everybody enjoyed that. And I actually hope it inspires people to change your paradigm on really what we need to focus on. And we do not take enough time in serving and helping others. And so we can always do more. And, you know, that old advice, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So let me move forward with the obligatory sponsors. We are also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. This is the only show that will provide you with the processes and and what we need to do, period, in getting the federal government out of our lives and back into the framework of the Constitution. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. And I also want to let you know that if you do call in, especially those who might possibly know me, remember I have the three C's. Please be confidential. Please be civil. And the third C, be concise. If you haven't heard, we do have a GoFundMe set up. And actually, I'm going to be going on to the GoFundMe campaign. So just go to GoFundMe.com and just look for Reclaiming the Republic. You will find my my campaign there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to update the cost of what it just cost me to go to Wyoming. And I will talk to you more about that. But let me get that data up there and let me get a good foundation or get my feet settled before I really start diving into all of the things that I was able to talk to, learn, and engage with the good Wyomingians and, you know, their concerns and how they are looking at what's going on in this republic. They're just like you. They're equally concerned with what is going on. And so they're not happy. As a matter of fact, they are equally concerned, like I said, just like you, and they are looking over their shoulders going, what's next? How bad can it get? Anyway, so let me also point out that if you are looking to get involved, by all means, continue to get engaged. If you want to work directly with us, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We could definitely use your help. If you've got a computer, you're kind of computer literate, you've got a phone, you can do a lot. And believe me, I mean, I've been a one-man wrecking crew for a long time, and I've been able to get a lot done. I mean, are you listening to me now? So with that, I would relish anybody that wants to dive in and help. And if you want, I would even recommend, I highly recommend that you consider looking at theconstitutionclub.ning.com. And by going there, you'll be able to actually see I think you'll find the opportunities astounding with what you can do with your own state and county. We all live in different counties, but you already have friends and so forth in those counties. Or if you're just looking for nationwide, those who are huge lovers and supporters of the Constitution, you're going to find that there are a lot of you out there, and this would be a good place to actually start connecting. So anyway, constitutionclub.ning.com for those of you driving. So just in case you're writing that down or texting, I am not advocating writing and texting while you're driving, but just in case you are, I figured I'd slow it down for you. As always, and as I looked and as I listened to the news, and I don't watch much TV. I'm not enslaved to the tube for my entertainment and for feeding me information. But when I do happen to watch TV, or when I do look, I do scan and look for any type of sign that the federal government is going in the right direction. Are they going to get rid of any of these tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers? Here's the newsflash for you, folks. If they do, that doesn't mean it's gone. The next tyrant, the next despot, Hillary Clinton, who knows, whatever Democrat, socialist, or rhino that gets into office will say, you know, we thought that was a good thing. We're going to bring that back. That is why the states have to get involved. The states have to step up, and the states have to assert their authority so that they can force the federal government to get out of their lives and get out of all the tyrannical rules, responsibilities, and powers that they are exercising against this republic. So what that means is, again, we're going to have to do this together. This cannot be done by a single hero. There's no such thing. But I do believe that if we get what state to stand up, like I've said before, if we can get Wyoming to become the David in standing up, then I'm going to tell you, we are going to move forward. So let me take a look at some info regarding, and I like to call it marketing, on what the heck is going on. And then kind of talk about some things that I've probably talked about before, but I think it's just important that we cover these things, these shenanigans and information, to hopefully get you to think about how much more are you going to take before we all start finally taking that stand. I'm not asking you to join another party. I'm not asking you to get emotionally, you know, hitched and involved in some type of entity or organization. I am asking for people to actually fight the Leviathan. The first thing that I ask is that you get educated and become convinced that the federal government has no jurisdiction in all the things that they've been inflicting upon us. They have no power to do any of these things, and that they're violating the Constitution in a sundry of ways that we actually, if we don't step up, it may be too late. And so let me just plow forward, because I've got about 3 minutes left. Now, as you know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, they're changing their tune. They're not going to be the stupid entertainer monkeys on the string dancing for the organ grinder anymore. But what's interesting is they're going to have Ron Chernow. I guess he's going to be a guest host, or actually he's going to be the highlighted guest. And to me, I don't know if I've ever read any of his books, but to me, he's kind of a moderate revisionist. I don't think that he's really calling the spade for a spade or an apple for an apple. I think he starts muddying the waters. And as a matter of fact, if you're not familiar, he wrote a biography on Hamilton, and he literally glossed over some really important facts. And so some of those facts are, I mean, he glossed over the fact that Hamilton had some real, let's call them mental inadequacies. It's not easy. As a matter of fact, if you look at Bill Clinton, you can probably see some of the inadequacies that Bill Clinton displays in Alexander Hamilton. The same thing with Obama. Both of them never knew their father. I mean, they were bastards. And so he, having not had that, and actually, you know, living in a time where he didn't even, he lived with his mother for quite a while. But when he came to the States, I mean, he literally, you know, left his family. He became very well, I will say, literate. He wasn't really well educated, though, but he was very literate, and in doing so, he was a very dangerous man. And Chernow, the biggest thing that I think, the biggest disservice he did for anybody that reads that book is the fact that he failed to point out how Hamilton was two-faced. I mean, he was really pro limited government. He was pro the Constitution and what was being sold. You got to accept this Constitution. And then as soon as the Constitution was signed, or I should say ratified by the states, and they started exercising these constitutional powers, he was the first one trying to undermine it. And Chernow did not do any service in identifying that. I've spoken here on this show several times, and as you start reading some of the comments he was making in the Federalist Papers, you could see how he was either using a sleight of hand and or trying to create a straw man type of argument so that people would be, you know, either, how do you say, I'll just say that if you read it, you go, huh, okay, you know, that can't happen. But it did. And there's no doubt in my mind he was smart enough and nefarious enough to know that it was going to happen. So, as I just heard, it sounds like I'm kind of tied up with having to move forward for a hard break. So we're going to go to the hard break, and as soon as we come back, I am going to move on into some other news other than Hamilton, because I could go all day just talking about him. So we'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so I'm not sure if you heard, but apparently Apple is taking billions of dollars from Google. And apparently some of that has to do with some of the privacy data of their users and so forth. And so it seems like Mr. Cook is out there defending his making this deal. And so Apple, having supposedly the great reputation of no-nonsense privacy, is literally allowing Google to backdoor them, it seems like, or at least because you know Google is notorious for wanting to track people. Nobody can be trusted, and that they are literally monitoring everything you possibly can, and they're trying to connect all the dots and all the data. With that, if you haven't remembered, you should be using DuckDuckGo. Get off and away from Google. Enough said, right? I also noticed, and I love irony, but I noticed that there has been a growing protest in Mexico. And these Mexican protesters have been taking to the streets to protest the growing influx of Central American migrants who are making their way to gain access to America. As a matter of fact, some of the caravans have hit America already. For a few years, they've been doing this. And so it seems like the number of protesters are growing. And it seems like as the migrant vans are starting to lose favor among many sectors of Mexico's northern states, it is pretty obvious when you start hearing them chanting, Mexicans first. In other words, it seems like they're getting a little disgusted with the fact that people are able to cut right through their country and gain access to America when they can't. Especially if you start thinking about the fact that Mexico has a very stringent migration policy. But apparently, anybody that wants to claim they're going to come to America, well, then they'll just let them right through. Really? That's why I've said that they should actually cross the border over and basically say, hey, sorry, you know, since Mexico has already allowed you here, then you've already got asylum. You don't need a second asylum from Mexico. Because you're safe now, you're in Mexico, and just basically shut the door, right? Because Mexico has allowed them to come in. All they need to do is seek asylum with Mexico. And I want to see the whole mainstream media go to Mexico and thank them and, you know, let them come out and talk about how honorable Mexico is in being able to take care of their southern brothers and sisters. Isn't that interesting? I don't believe we really have an immigration problem. And I really believe that the magnet that is drawing people here isn't, most of these people has nothing to do with the American dream. It has everything to do with the entitlement state. Turn off the entitlement state and you will find that the desire to come here for free handouts and all these things will probably go away. So let me move on. You know, I've actually been finding that there are some really good videos out there. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a special show, and I'm going to list, because I'm preparing a link library or a free informational video directory type of thing. So that if you come to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you want to actually start learning about stuff, and because this goes hand in hand with this marketing concept that I'm utilizing. I want you to come and watch some of these movies. I want you to come and see some of these documentaries and some of these informative movies out there that will help you understand what the heck is going on and why we're in such dire straits. That way, as you watch these things, you'll start going, you know, like there's a movie called Agenda and Agenda 2, The Grinding Down of America. And they don't talk about really any tangible solutions, but they are doing an excellent job in identifying precisely where all these problems have been coming from. I mean, most all of this stuff, if you're well informed, this will all be secondhand, or I should say secondhand. It'll all be, you know, oh yeah, I already knew that. Oh yeah, I knew that. And it's not that these videos will bore you with, you know, redundant information. These videos are very good and accurate, and they're up to date with the current ties and current connections to, you know, all the communist players and actors in America. And some of these are very, very good, and they put things into context for you that I want you to start thinking as you watch these things, what is it going to take for me to finally stand up and say, enough is enough. We have to take our Constitution back. We, the people of the several states, have to take this Constitution back. We have to demand that our states do their job and step up and literally step in. With that, I want to also say that it seems like red states are turning blue, and it's miraculous. I actually had an opportunity to listen to Wayne Allyn Root this Friday, and he talked about red states turning blue. There is no doubt in my mind that if you live in a red state and or you are dreaming of having a red state, turning your blue state or purple state red, you need to start understanding that the Democrats will do anything to lock in and enslave you. The ends justify the means. There isn't any law that they're not willing to break, and they have no moral code. You've got to remember the doctrine of Takya. They can lie, they can deceive you, they can do anything necessary to further their cause. There is no such thing as a crime if you are furthering their cause. That is why there is no demand from the Democrats to lock Hillary up for the crimes that she's committed. There's no demand. And so I would just, I'll get back to this. If you want to start watching some really good informative movies, I'm going to start putting them up, and I will literally start providing you with really good content, so that these are things you can actually watch with your family to say, this is really what we're facing. If you want to understand the intricate web of communism in America and how we're fighting this and how it all links to President Obama, the Clintons, and so forth, then I think you really, you owe it to yourself, your children, and as a matter of fact, your neighbors. You can become the host of movie nights once a week, once a month, what have you. I will tell you that in the area I live, there is a grassroots organization that has a movie night once a month and provide just incredible information, both locally as well as for the Republic, on what the heck's going on. Now, let me get back onto, you know, illegal immigration and so forth. You probably heard in the news, here's some more marketing for you. You probably heard that another illegal immigrant, who ICE basically has confirmed, has killed three people after his sanctuary release. Alien Luis Perez, that's his first name isn't alien, it's Luis, but he's an alien, and he had some accomplices, Nadia Burden, Aaron D. Anderson, and I think somebody else. But the fact is, he killed three people. He was released, and then they took off. And if you read the details on this, this was just a evil. They actually wrote on the bullets about, you know, songs about killing people and so forth. And so if you don't understand how insidious this whole concept is of allowing just anybody, especially these criminals, and coming into America, a nation has a responsibility. The first two principles of government and objects for government is, one, to protect lives, and two, to protect property. And if they are not doing that, and that is exactly what is not happening by having open borders, we have to stop this. We've completely lost track of our principles. Again, government's two objects. This is Madison speaking. Their two principal objects that they're supposed to do is protect lives and protect property. I also wanted to kind of grind a little bit more, because I know it may be old news, but I think it's important that you start putting this into context. The whole fact that New York's tax incentives for Amazon to set up in New York should be a complete slap in the face if you understand social. Everybody's got to pay their fair share, except for Amazon. Why is it that Amazon has gotten passes throughout the... Bezos is the richest guy in the world. He could easily write the check for the $2 billion that he's getting by taking them there. The fact is that Amazon has been spying on America since their inception. They've been giving the data of whatever it is you buy, whatever it is you're looking at through the Amazon for pricing and so forth. And the fact is that New York has no problem in providing incentives for such an insidious organization. I wonder if they would provide incentives for good American Patriot, you know, gun manufacturers and those types of things. Probably not, but I'm at a hard break, so I'll be right back after this. So please stay tuned and we'll be right back. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So one of the things that Mr. Root pointed out on Friday was he actually somehow was exchanging texts with some of the Nevada Democratic campaign headquarters people. Apparently, there was some rancid, mean Democratic worker, employee, intern that actually was threatening him, and they had his number, and they published it and everything else. Somehow, that number also got into their automatic texting to all the people that are, you know, associated voters, illegals, and what have you. And so they were literally texting out in Spanish. And this is happening in Nevada, so this is also happening in California and everywhere else. They're using texting to actually broadcast to people that, hey, if you show up to our celebration party for turning this red state blue, and that was the first time they had a blue wave like that in a red state. And so what they did, and actually before the election, they were literally texting people, you do not have to have ID and you don't have to speak English. You just go and demand your ballot. And they were literally getting people to, you know, go out as often as they possibly could and vote as often as they could. And they literally overwhelmed the system by literally having
a bunch of illegals and people that were there was no way to track these ballots, these provisionals or even these claimed ballots for people. And so Wayne was talking about how they were texting him for their celebrations, and they said, "Hey, if you just bring your EBT card, your welfare card, your credit card, by, and we'll give you free stuff. You know, free cell phones and all sorts of things." And he's going, "This is just crazy. They're literally doing everything they can to bend over backwards for the indigent to vote for them, so that and." I want you to know something, folks. It is illegal to buy votes. And the Democrats have been doing this for a long time. "We're going to give you this. Vote for us. We're going to give you this. Vote for us." The bottom line is that there are barriers from those things being able to happen. It's called the Constitution. They are limited by very specific enumerated powers within both U.S. and state constitutions. And what has been happening is people have been ignoring the Constitution and allowing people to just give away crap. It's almost the same as if you owned a company and somebody came in and just sat down at the, walked into your desk or walked into your offices and got their hands on the company check and literally started writing checks. It's fraud. That would be fraud, and you'd be able to go after that person if you could find them. But, I mean, they would create a huge mess, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're creating a huge mess with fraud. So I don't know what it's going to take, but hopefully you're going to start recognizing that there is no end to this, that, again, the ends justify the means. They are going to do whatever they can, just like in Florida with Brenda Snipes. She should be arrested for election fraud. Her office reportedly intermingled 22 provisional ballots that should not have been counted within a batch of 205. And everybody understands what election fraud is when you allow those things to happen. It happened under her watch. She should be arrested and tried. And there needs to be a real audit. I mentioned this before, after the election, and as a matter of fact, prior to the 2019 election and the 2020 election, Trump needs to literally convert a lot of his unconstitutional bureaucracies into a election audit company, or I should not company, but a bureaucracy or entity, so that these folks can actually get out into these dark red bastions, LA and so forth, and literally go into these polling places and as soon as these elections are done, start auditing them with a fine-tooth comb. We have to shut down the rampant voter fraud and election fraud that's going on. They are stealing this country through the election process, through violating the Constitution. They're doing everything they possibly can. And again, the ends justify the means. They do not care. The doctrine of Takia is in full effect. Any lie, deceit, or crime that they commit is necessary to carry out and further their cause, period. I mean, I can't explain this anymore. Another thing I noticed, as I saw this, I go, this isn't really news, and then it really resonated with me. If you haven't heard, malaria is becoming a real problem, and they're really trying to figure out how to eradicate it. They're going down paths that are very dangerous, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are leading in this fighting of malaria. If you start looking at how they're going about it, we already have a proven path, DDT. Now, when you hear people say the DDT is, harmful to the environment, it destroyed the eagles with softening the eagles' eggs and all that, BS. There is no proven evidence. And as a matter of fact, that has come out very clearly ever since then. And DDT would literally eradicate malaria in most of these countries. As a matter of fact, in 2012, almost 1 million people died from malaria, and 90% of them in the sub-Saharan Africa. So my point, my friends, is the fact that if we do not start getting, you know, assertive and saying we already have processes to do this. And if, as you understand, what ended up happening, I think it was the 70s from the environmental movement in the late 60s, early 70s, so somewhere in there, when they went after DDT and when they basically said, we have to ban the use of DDT. Those people responsible for banning that and the Congress that actually did that should be held accountable and responsible for the deaths of all the millions of people in the world that have died since. Because all they did was they created a hysteria of a false narrative to get people to literally, you know, stop doing something. And if you... if you kind of understand, if you look up the Georgia Guidestones, these people in this movement do not want any more than 500 million people living on the planet. They want to create an elite society, and that's what they want. Go read the Georgia Guidestones. I'm not making this up. That is their end goal. If you understand what the Georgia Guidestones are, then you'll understand precisely how insidious these folks are and the direction they want to take this country, okay? So let me kind of get into some of the stuff that I have been kind of focused on. And I know I've gone through some of this stuff, but it is imperative that I kind of close out the show with this information. Because if you understand how politics really works, there are different elements within our society that provide political energy. There are public servants. There are organizations, and organizations means corporations. They actually spend money on buying politicians. Or there are 501(c)s that are literally passionate causes like the anti-abortion or the pro-life. These tax-free 501(c)(3) organizations funnel money into and work this, our society, work the passion in trying to get and rally the voter base and so forth. They're contributors in political energy. The laws themselves kind of contribute and or drive political energy, whether it is the hampering and obstruction of political energy or whether it is, you know, inciting political energy like the gun laws in Washington State. That's kind of inciting some political energy. The education system is also driving political energy by changing the paradigm in teaching the kids, your children, the importance of believing that the state can solve all their problems, that liberty is harmful to society. There's also another organization called the Party, and it's kind of obvious, but you have to include them because they are huge drivers of political energy. There's the electorate, you, the guys that vote, and gals and people, you provide political energy, and they definitely try to engage you and energize you in getting out to vote. And the last one I want to talk about, believe it or not, is religion. Religion used to be a huge driver of political energy. And for some reason, in America, it has been strangled or tied down and basically put into a corner and muzzled so that religion can't do so much. They're doing everything they can, they want to, and they're trying to do more. But for some reason, they're not the big drivers like they used to be in the beginning of our republic. And so if you start understanding that societies and their mores are a reflection of their religion, I want you to think about this. If we were at one point in time a reflection of Christianity, and it was very obvious if you saw what we did, then what are we doing now? And where is that reflection of religion coming from? And I will tell you when we get back from the break. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so societies and their mores are a reflection of their religion. And America and its mores in the very beginning, and Alexis de Tocqueville did a very good job in documenting this, and that's why I recommend you read his book, Democracies in America, or Democracy in America. And so what happened to America and those mores? How did we get away from having such a strong faith of Christianity in America, and why we're literally struggling to even maintain? Our churches are now becoming abandoned due to the fact that just like Europe at the end of the 1700s and going into the 1800s, Europe became godless. So how did this happen? Well, so there was good intent by the framers in trying to what they used the term secular because they didn't have the word non-denominational. So what they were doing was they were trying to make the government non-denominational, but they were definitely aligned. And if you look and you understand, every single state in the union had some limitations. I believe Maryland was one that was completely, I believe they were the first one to pass the tolerance law. It was like 1679 or something like that. I wrote about it in my first book. But they passed a tolerance law that any Christian faith would be tolerated in the state of Maryland or the colony. And I believe Pennsylvania was another kind of tolerant state, and Rhode Island was another kind of, actually, they were very tolerant because they allowed all the those who were getting kicked out of Massachusetts in the Puritan area, come on into Rhode Island. You can set up your church here because almost anything went in Rhode Island. But most all of the states, almost every single state, had laws and banned the practice and the religious faith to be openly practiced or proselyted, such as the Jewish faith, Hindu, as well as, Islam. and Islam was just banned here, period. So what happened? How did this all of a sudden in the, you know, go over a century of banning religions to all of a sudden at the end of the 1800s, early 1900s, I think Islam was finally allowed in during the deep part of the progressive era, which was, I believe it was around Wilson's time frame when they started allowing and were ignoring the banning and letting the Islamists coming in. So how'd this happen? Well, you'll find that as religion was no longer being the center of compassionate service for the states, but they were still doing that mission because the states didn't have that mission. You got to understand, the states did not have welfare, they didn't have jobs programs, they didn't have food assistance, they didn't have education. The churches were doing all of that. And slowly but surely, the churches were abdicating these responsibilities because they weren't getting any money from the state. And they had shifted, and I've told you this before, in the early 1800s, there was a huge shift of Christianity going from a layman's type of church where everybody had a job and you provided for your family from your job. And on top of that, just like what I do or what I've been doing, I had a job and I go and work and I write and I work patriotic things. It's called public virtue. And churches, or I should say patriots, were providing public virtue in serving people through administering their faith and so forth. John Adams' father was one and so forth. But they created a professional path, or they created professional clergymen. You go to school, you get your degree, and then you go get your flock, and they're going to pay you. And so all of a sudden, people were literally becoming, just like the Catholic Church, professional, full-time people of the cloth. And so what ended up happening was, well, shoot, I need more money because now I'm not working, so you got to pay me more. So they had to start changing and morphing their positions in their compassionate service. And there was a guy by the name of Horace Mann that came back. And if you know, understand education, it was around the 1800s when Mr. Mann recommended that the state take over education. And the churches were just waiting for this to happen because they were quick to abdicate the responsibility so that they could keep more money. And so Horace Mann actually, if I remember correctly, kind of went to different nations and he liked the militant way of educating individuals, the kind of the Russian military type of form in having your own desk and so forth. And he wanted to institute that type of teaching. Now, they don't do that type of teaching today. As a matter of fact, they don't allow individuals to, you know, sit and study on their own. That's why everything is done as a collective in classes now. And if you start watching some of these informative videos, you will see how our classrooms have been completely transformed. That's why when I get this thing set up on my website, the informational video page on reclaimingtherepublic.org, you'll be able to watch and you'll find that these are very incredible videos. If you have any, or you know, and you can send me a link of a good video and give me the back information on it first, let me know because I will definitely put it up there. And if you want your name cited, let me know. I'll give you the credit. Hey, from listener so-and-so from Pennsylvania has recommended this video, and please check it out. Anyway, the churches actually literally began abdicating the responsibility, and so they started giving up education. And over time, they gave up jobs. Actually, before that, they even started giving up jobs because it was in the 1830s with Andrew Jackson. It was the clergy who asked Andrew Jackson to create a jobs program just so they could literally keep a little more money for themselves because things were tight. They wanted the government to take care of people instead of them. And that has been, you know, literally the path in creating this organization that they have today called Circle of Protection. If you Google, or I should actually, let me correct that. If you DuckDuckGo, Circle of Protection, U.S., clergy and or Bread for Life or something like that. That's all you really got to do. And you'll find that there's a huge organization of all these different religions. And I challenge you to tell me what religion isn't even up there. It seems like every single Christian faith is up there, and they're all in the tank in getting government to expand its welfare programs. Why are they doing this? So that they can keep their money. They've abdicated all of their responsibilities, and now they're basically preaching and telling you to go to the state. But that's not our real problem. Our real problem has been the ideological divide, and they have only become a tool. And now, because they cannot serve two masters, they are tied to serving the state. And so if you've never seen my my scale of liberty, again, if you could just imagine a bar that starts off on one end white, and ever so lightly it starts changing gray and grayer and grayer, and the gray gets darker and darker and darker until the far end it is black. These are the opposite ends of the scale of liberty. On one end, you have full liberty, zero enslavement. You are living the life that we have been intended to live. On the other end, the far end, you are completely enslaved. You cannot make a choice. You cannot think for yourself. You have to do everything you possibly can. And one would think that it's almost impossible to live in a life and or a society that is fully enslaved. One might imagine that one could live in a life under a society that one has full liberty. But actually, in America, we were very close to that. I mean, there have been, churches actually had morals. They had laws. You could get kicked out. You could be chastised and admonished. There were things like the Scarlet Letter, where communities would shame people. And so that is because in a Republican form of government, you have to have laws, and we are, and Republican forms of government are based on the rule of law. And so, my friends, if you start understanding what happens every time you take a step towards slavery, you give up liberty. Well, what's been happening since man started taking over education and churches started abdicating their responsibilities, we started moving more and more and becoming more and more dependent on the state for doing everything. If you look today, we are literally getting closer and closer to black. What we have to do is we have to throw down this insidious enslavement or these trappings, and they're easy to do. We can provide, we can do much better than what the state is doing for ourselves. We can do this for ourselves, my friends. It's just a matter of taking a stand. And so once again, I'm almost out of time. So once again, I want you to start thinking about what is it going to take. Are we going to accept this forced slavery as the Democrats literally start taking more and more? And as they go into the House, I want you to watch the shenanigans these people are pulling. If they can, they will rip away your liberties. The ends justify the means. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm out of here for the day, and I am reclaiming the Republic, and I'll be back tomorrow. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.